hello and welcome to The County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of The Conversation, I'm chatting with Lauren Krizwicki. She is manager of the Fairfax County Animal Shelter's Pet Resource Center, and that's going to be our topic of conversation today. The Shelter's Pet Resource Center. Lauren, thanks for being on the podcast with us today. Now, a little background information. Lauren and her team spearhead the animal shelter's programs that help keep pets with their families who love them. And this includes the shelter's monthly vaccine and microchip clinics, the pet pantry, and the new spay-neuter voucher program. The Pet Resource Center also has a strong community presence and a number of partnerships with other agencies, and we'll talk more about the partnerships during this conversation. Under Lauren's leadership, the animal shelter has seen an estimated 250% increase in pets served compared to the same period in 2023. 250%? Man, that is an incredible stat, Lauren. Congrats on that.
Yes, thank you. So really, we started looking holistically at why animals are coming into the shelter. So why are families needing to relinquish their pet into the shelter's care? The top two reasons that we see in our owner surrender data is access to veterinary care, and housing is actually a major one as well. So once we identified those type of things, we also worked on community relationship building. Many people don't think that, you know, their municipal shelter is the place, you know, that they can come to for pet supplies or support or for us to advocate for them to keep their pet. So surveying the community, and we've identified their top needs, what they're really looking for from us, and just focusing on accessibility, not putting barriers in people's way to be able to access us. So we table alongside the Lorton Community Action Center and Rising Hope Food Banks to bring services to the community, because having them at the shelter is also great, but that assumes they know that you're there and you exist. Right. So increasing that accessibility, making our microchip clinics their walk-up, no registration needed. Wow. So that leaves the availability for someone walks by and sees a sign and they're like, oh, heck, I got to go back over there and get a vaccine today. So accessibility is something we really focus on.
Well, and also the opening of the shelter at Lorton. I mean, now the Fairfax County has two animal shelters. So that had to be a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, that was huge. We actually have some pretty remarkable data. Something I also really focus on is the zip codes that we're serving. Fairfax County has an amazing mapping tool to help identify vulnerable areas. So that's another way that we've targeted services. And for example, just looking at the vaccine and microchip clinics, as you mentioned, we have them monthly and they're at both campuses. At our Lorton campus, we see 75% of the people have never accessed that service before with our vaccine and microchip clinic. So we're really hitting a new demographic and we're really able to target that portion of the county, which is huge. So that's important to spread our services out and reach very different areas.
I don't know if you have this information on top of your head, and since you just brought it up, I thought I would ask.
Yeah.
Are there areas of the county that you're seeing like an underserved area when it comes to pets?
Yeah, overwhelmingly, our stray animal populations and even the owner relinquishment data is from that Route 1 corridor area, which again is fantastic and perfect timing for the opening of the Lorton shelter. And that has really opened up our presence has had a renewed sense of the animal shelter being there and reaching that community. A lot of people thought it was a different shelter altogether and didn't realize we were linked. Since they're so far apart from each other, that's been really wonderful. And that's allowed us to reach out to other areas like the Lorton Community Action Center, for example, is right down the road. And us just opening that helped to open that door to start contacting some of those human social service organizations as well. And we've extended our pet pantry to there also. So families can reach out to the shelter and say, hey, I just really need help with food this month. We take their info and we set out their package of items that they can pick up the shelter. Uber Eats style is like we like to call it. So that's been great. And we've been doing pop-up pet pantries as well, again, to get into those communities and partner with some human food banks and distribute pet supplies and food alongside there as well.
Yeah. We'll get to specifically the Pet Resource Center in just a sec, but I want to continue kind of the focus on the partnerships a little bit more.
Okay.
I find that kind of interesting. You know, it's, use your word, holistic looking at it. You know, it's not just I need to take care of my dog or my cat or my turtle or fish or whatever, my animal. Right. But, you know, I mean, pets are part of our family, so why not look at overall family health, nutrition, et cetera. You mentioned Lorton Action Center. Mm-hmm. What other partnerships in the community you have, or flip side of that, what partnerships are you lacking and you wish you had?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And that's exactly it. Pets are part of the family. And essentially, services like this exist in the human world, right? But it's for family members or children or things like that. But oftentimes we forget the families that seek those services. They also have pets, and they may have had that pet for some time, and now they've fallen on hard times or what have you. We recently have started a partnership with Rising Hope Mission Church. And we will be distributing pet food and supplies alongside them as well. And that's a great opportunity to talk to people about our services and programs like that. Something else I'm very excited about is the expansion of our Pet Haven program. We've recently started.
And what is that?
Our Pet Haven program is a no questions asked program in which domestic violence survivors can come to the shelter and drop off their pet for temporary housing so that allows them to escape a situation. A main barrier for people staying in domestic violence situations is often their pet. They're often worried, what will happen to my pet if I leave? And things of that nature. So that's a great program. However, a barrier to that program is the amount of time the shelter is able to house those animals is finite.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, folks need a good chunk of time to be able to get things in order and move on to a safer space. So with that, we're very excited to start conversations with Shelter House, who's a domestic violence shelter, and they work with homeless as well. And what we're working on with them is collaborating and building out a foster program. So essentially, the clientele they're already serving, they will be able to offer a foster network for those clients. And then we will be there as a supporting figure in helping them get it set up and help them with intake exams, like if their pet needs vaccines or anything like that, kind of get them reset. And if the fosters need pet supplies or a crate for an animal they're taking on, we'll be providing that for them as well. So we're really pleased with that because a foster program allows so much more time for those families and for animals to be housed temporarily.
Right, right. So is that innovative program, is that kind of one of the things you see as the future for animal shelters, not only in Fairfax County, but across the nation?
Yeah, temporary housing programs like this is a huge pain point for a lot of shelters, animal shelters. We appreciate the need. We appreciate the fact that, you know, people need more than a standard 10 or 14 day hold, very standard for us and neighboring shelters. So having more of those specialized fosters that, you know, people that, you know, our foster pool, if you will, is really focused on our shelter animals, but kind of getting those specialized foster pools that are interested in helping families as well and interested in those types of topics, and they're prepared for a long-term foster. You know, often our shelter fosters are just recovering from a surgery or something that is pretty finite. I think that is really something that the animal welfare world is looking at, and having more robust foster pools to better support people.
Is that kind of one of the ways I'm going to put my air quotes up here, the role of the animal shelter has evolved over the years, going further than just adopting a pet out?
Absolutely, yeah. That is really where animal welfare is focused and where we're transitioning to is how do we look at some of those upstream solutions? Because nationwide right now, more animals are entering shelters and fewer are going out. So not only do people need to surrender more, but they're not in a position to adopt as well. So how can we look at those community-centered initiatives, and especially for municipalities? Like, we're serving the county, you know, and we're serving families and residents. We're not just here to protect animals or protect animals from people. You know, most animals are in loving homes, and if we can support them in doing that and avoid a shelter intake, that's what we're going to do.
How did you get involved in animal welfare?
Yeah, great question. I've always been interested. I was that classic kid who was like, I want to be a vet, you know.
Right.
And I actually did start in a clinical role. I started as a licensed veterinary technician.
Oh, wow.
And I started working at Fairfax County Shelter through Pender, who they're contracted with over there. And I was like, this is amazing. And then I got the chance to do that full time when Mound County Animal Services opened up a full time medical team. I went over there and I said, hey, you know, this shelter thing is really great. So I went and got my master's in shelter medicine with the University of Florida. I got a graduate certificate in animal shelter leadership. And through all of those experiences led me to this incredible job of starting to really look at those community-centered initiatives. So it's been great.
Awesome. That sounds wonderful. We're on the County Conversation and we're talking with Lauren Kryzwicki. She is the manager of Fairfax County Animal Shelter's Pet Resource Center, and we're talking pets today, and what could be more fun than that? Let's narrow down and really specifically talk about the Pet Resource Center. What is it?
Like I mentioned before, our mission is pet retention. So we are trying to look at some of those systemic inequities, if you will, of pet ownership and all of the barriers that exist with pet ownership, housing being a really major one of those. So the Pet Resource Center is all things pet resources, as the name implies. So we have, like I've mentioned, through our pet pantry, we regularly supply food and supplies. We host 24 vaccine and microchip clinics annually, and we're looking to target some of those in those vulnerable communities as well and have some offsite clinics, again, bringing more services into the community. If we don't have a program that works for you and you're reaching out to us, we have a wealth of list of different programs and organizations, and we can still help you gear towards, you know, the right path for you and what will best be supported. We also have our spay neuter voucher program, which has been really fantastic. And essentially, Fairfax County residents apply. It's based on income eligibility, and they can apply for a spay neuter voucher to redeem at one of our partner veterinary clinics. So they can redeem at Fairfax Animal Hospital, Columbia Pike Animal Emergency Center, and Caring Hands Hospital in Merrifield. And a voucher includes, of course, spay neuter, routine post-operative care, so pain meds, things like that. It also includes core vaccines and microchipping. So some really great data through there is so far half of the residents utilizing that program have never seen a vet before. So we're pleased that we're able to get them into the vet and start having that conversation with vet care, and then they can come back to our clinics and kind of get that ball rolling for health.
So the Pet Resource Center is like the umbrella for all these programs, the spay neuter program, et cetera, pet pantry.
Like veterinary social work. I hesitate to say that because there's a real certification for that.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, there are veterinary social workers.
Oh, wow.
But that's essentially the nature of the work, interacting with families, evaluating what they need, and trying to help support them in the best way we can.
So how do you guys go about working with a family that, whatever the situation is, maybe they're having trouble or maybe the pet is having trouble, but they want to keep the family together, if you will, keep the pet with them. How do you work with them? How do you educate them to make them better pet parents, if you will?
Yeah, so we really try to make it as learning of an experience as possible. So staying curious. For example, we didn't realize that the voucher program would serve so many people who never went to the vet. You know, and none of us are born with all this veterinary knowledge, right? We get it when we take our pets to when the vet it, when we go to the vet for the first time.
Right.
And if families aren't able to access that, you know, pet health literacy can be quite low. So, you know, for example, you may have someone who's been hesitant to spay or neuter their pet, and they realize they're like, yeah, I know, like litter prevention, cool, whatever.
Right.
But also there's a lot of some serious diseases that can develop as a result of having your pet intact, and can cost thousands of dollars in the hospital. There are some cancers involved as well. So you're really preventing a lot, and you're really helping the health of your pet as well. So I don't know if that totally answered what you're saying, but yeah, exactly. And, you know, just having the resources available. And again, like I mentioned, staying curious. So asking them, oh, well, what does that look like for you? Or what does your routine look like? Can help kind of uncover some of those things. And you don't want to assume people know or don't know something. We have a lot of really great infographics as well, that we can passively hand out too, so we're not insulting anyone's knowledge.
Right.
And language is a huge barrier as well. So I'm very fortunate. Our Pet Resource Center coordinator is bilingual. And all of our materials are bilingual and everything of that nature as well. So that's a major barrier for the Spanish-speaking community is accessing that care and being able to understand what's happening with them at the vet just due to a language barrier.
So family is interested in adopting a pet from the animal shelter. How is the Pet Resource Center involved at that stage when the family is looking to adopt?
That's a fantastic question. So we are and are not, in a way.
It depends.
Yeah,
right?
It depends. So we are not typically involved with every adoption that's taking place. We are really community facing.
Okay.
However, we are looking into, you know, in the past we have offered behavioral assistance and support, through our behavior team.
For the animals, not the parents.
For the animals. Well, sometimes the parents. But yes, for the animals post-adoption, and, you know, adopters are always abreast to what other services are needed. And a lot of times pets that are being adopted are in the middle of a vaccine series, for example. So they could return and come to our vaccine clinics to finish that out and everything like that. So we are there for whoever needs them. And upon adoption, our counselors are so fantastic about asking what people need. Do you need a crate? Do you need a new bed? We always send people home with food so they can transition diets. So there's always offering. There's nothing worse than forcing someone to ask for help. So we'll offer it and you let us know what you need.
Right. So you have food to give, crates if they need it, all these kind of things. Are these free?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We just target Fairfax County residents. So if people are reaching out through our pet pantry program, if they're a Fairfax County resident, sure, no questions asked.
So I'm assuming that leads to the other part of it. You do need donations of money or goods to keep the pet pantry stocked.
Yeah.
So someone's listening and they want to help. How do they go about doing that?
All of you listening, this is the part to listen to. we have Amazon wish lists, and they're broken out into different programming. So you can specifically donate to the pet pantry through our Amazon wish lists, or you can still donate to the shelter specifically if you want to donate there. Or there's a list for our foster programs as well, and they're targeted to the campus. We have found people are very passionate about their home campus, so you can donate to whichever place you'd like, or both. And then, you know, things that we always need in the pet pantry, highest demand, are dry cat food. Mainly food is our biggest one. Dry cat food is very hard to keep on hand for some reason. That's a very popular one. Cat litter as well.
Sure.
But mainly food is our top need.
So you mentioned the two campuses, just for folks that may not know or whatever, don't know where that. Remind us again, the two locations, where they're at, and maybe website, how can folks reach out, et cetera.
Yeah. So we have our Michael R. Fry campus that's been established for some time in Fairfax. And that's at 4500 West Ox Road. And then we have our Lorton campus, which we opened last October. So we're hitting our 1-year anniversary here. And that is at 8875 Lorton Road. And you can email the normal shelter inbox if you have any general questions for the shelter at animalshelter@fairfaxcounty.gov. Or if you have questions about the Pet Resource Center, you can email the Pet Resource, it's just petresourcecenter@fairfaxcounty.gov. And our webpage is through the main shelter page as well, which is fairfaxcounty.gov/animal shelter.
Getting ready to land the plane, as they say, surprising or challenging aspect of your involvement with the animal shelter and like being running the Pet Resource Center?
Yeah, so our services are getting out there a bit more. But when I first started, it was a real challenge to start forming these partnerships, especially within the veterinary community. That was challenging. But starting to reach out into those human social service, they already understand the need of these families and say, hey, you know what? They have pets. But that's been a challenge. But we're getting there. And then also just the huge demand. There's such a demand for all of these services. We are definitely not struggling to advertise or fill, fill services. But we're working on getting there, and we're still expanding. So,
And mentioned earlier about the donations for the pet pantry. I'm assuming volunteers also play a part in the Pet Resource Center.
Oh my gosh. Our volunteers are invaluable to this program. There is a very modest 2-person staff, me and our coordinator, that run all of these ginormous programs.
Wow.
So yeah, there's so many volunteer opportunities for the Pet Resource Center, whether it's in the shelter, sorting donations, filling pet pantry requests, accompanying us when we do our pop-up pet pantries and other tabling events, and a huge one that takes an amazing crew. We call our clinic heroes, or the vaccine and microchip clinic volunteers. We staff about 12 to 13 volunteers at each of those clinics, and they are amazing. They have it down, they just go. They're so incredible. We love our volunteers.
Phone number, website, email, how can folks volunteer?
Yeah, so you can get on the main shelter page. It's fairfaxcounty.gov/animal shelter, and go to the volunteer tab there. And we are working on, our volunteer team, I should say, is working on getting out some more volunteer info sessions. So definitely check that out. Check out an info session. Come and meet us. We have been hosting some volunteer recruitment fairs as well, so you can get more information about other programs and how you can help. So be on the lookout for those on our socials, too.
Final 30 seconds. What have I not asked you, or what do you want to make sure you leave our listeners knowing about the animal shelter or the Pet Resource Center?
Wow, that was such a big question for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. Now you got 25
seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just teasing. Just, you know, staying curious is probably my main takeaway. You know, we all have had different exposure to what pet care looks like, and there is no one-size-fits-all type of family. So stay curious, ask people questions, try to help as best as possible, and pets are our family and a very valued member of our family, and promote family health. Yeah, come support the Pet Resource Center. Donate on the Amazon wish list.
Yeah, awesome. Good info, Lauren. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you.
Lauren Kryzwicki with us, the manager of Fairfax County Animal Shelter's Pet Resource Center, with us on the County Conversation podcast. Thanks to her for being here. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.